Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right, more words rolling in here that if you aren't from Houston, you probably pronounced them incorrectly. Fuque is getting a lot of love on the text page right now, Seth.
I always wondered if Fuque is pronounced the way it is because it, like maybe earlier in an earlier time, it was pronounced like another word that starts with
Yeah.
But then after a while, I mean, it was one of those things that were like everybody was like back in the day was too religious to like they didn't want anybody to know that they even knew that word. So, you know, they didn't want to protest it because like, well, of course I didn't even
Right. yes. Whenever a national sports host, this is a text message, says humble instead of umble, it pisses me off. LOL.
It isn't. Yeah, and you know what's weird is that they would even say it at all. I guess when an athlete is from Humble, that's when they say it. Oh, he's from Humble, Texas.
Well, the first time I ever got corrected with that, I wasn't even living in Houston at the time. It was in 93, and my brother was playing. My brother was on the football team at Notre Dame, and we went up. My dad and I went out there for the first game of the year, and we took Kevin and like three of his teammates out to dinner. And one of them was Bertrand Barry, who played in the NFL for a number of years. He's from Humble. And when we got to dinner, you know, we're sitting down and we're just kind of making small talk and meeting these guys for the first time. And I was a big like recruiting nerd back then. I followed the recruiting really close. And I'm like, oh yeah, Bert, you're from Humble. He's like, it's Humble.
Which should have been, it could have been a moment where he was flattered that you just off the cuff knew where he was from.
He did. He was a cool guy.
I would imagine people from Humble like get it quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's not a big, probably kind of sucks. I bet the average person from Humble doesn't even correct somebody most of the time. Like if it's not integral to the conversation, they just let it go. Cause then it's a whole thing.
Probably didn't like that. I corrected him back. I'm like, I don't think so. It's Humble. Look at it. H-U-M-B-L-E.
Didn't go to a lot of class back in the day. I see. Other people taking your tests for you, dummy.
Saw how you got into school. All right.
Yeah.
You jock. Yeah. All right. So the AFC South, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and Tennessee in the division with our Houston Texans here. The Dame Brugler, the athletics draft expert, author of The Beast, which is a gigantic PDF file, which is just way too much to consume.
Awesome when you feel, by the way, a gigantic PDF file with impossibly small type.
Yeah.
Like even when you expand it on your, even when you're looking at it 150%.
Yes.
It just, thanks a lot, Dane Brugler. Right. I trust you to understand the modern NFL when you're sending me stuff in 2003 fashion.
Well, and especially because a PDF file, you can do bigger fonts because it's not like you're worried about the size of a book or number of pages or killing trees or anything like that. Like, we're happy to like not strain our eyes and have to click straight to page 852, you know?
You know another thing, Sean?
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of audiobooks. Let me tell you, audiobook authors, I am not downloading your PDF.
Yeah.
Your accessory PDF. Every time you refer to it while I'm listening to it while driving or something, I'm like, I'm not gonna pull over to a rest area so I can scroll open to a PDF on my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell him, Seth. Give it to him. Give those audio.
I don't know what the other option is or whatever. It's actually pretty cool that you provide it. But
it is.
I just don't use it.
But not while you're driving.
I always think I'm going to do it too. I was like, later I'm going to go back and look at that PDF.
Yeah, there's some supporting material. All right, so
I never do.
So what's the what did the teams in the division do that concern us the most in the draft here? And we'll start with the Colts. Dane Brugler rates all the draft classes 1 through 32. People will not be happy with how he graded the Houston Texans. I will say that.
We'll get to that at the end there.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
For one, I just got to tell you, because as I was going through, I wanted to be sure and double check all these draft picks. One little thing I've always appreciated about the AFC South, Sean, is that Houston, Indianapolis, and Jacksonville alphabetically are right in succession.
Yes.
I don't know.
I love that.
I've never said that out loud, but every time I come across like some kind of list that I'm trying to click on, I'm like, oh, it's kind of nice that they're all lumped. And then you got your bastard kid that you hate, the Titans. Off there in first cousin Marriageville.
Yes.
You know, like, oh, wait, you got to scroll down to where the table for, it's not even at the kids' table at Thanksgiving. These kids have to go eat in the outhouse because they still have outhouses in Tennessee.
Right, right. Can't you move to a city that begins with G or K, please? All right.
The biggest one, now, Adonai Mitchell is one. I was thinking about making it Adonai Mitchell because, look, by pure physical talent and everything else, it looks like, man, that's a real bargain. They got him with the 20th pick in the second round, I believe.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
I guess the one question I would have is, all right, for all of the pre-draft smoke about him perhaps having attitude issues or not managing his diabetes well or whatever, maybe there was something to that. But I think the guy that I'd be most concerned about is Leatu Latu, the defensive end, because partly for selfish reasons, I love Latu the kid. I love that he is about as polished a college pass rusher as I have ever seen. And yet at the same time, there's a lack of physicality to his game that I don't know he has the athleticism to compensate for. So, like, if you think about some of the great defensive ends who weren't necessarily the most physical, you think about, like, Simeon Rice back in the day. Like, Simeon Rice was a freak athlete. And also when it came to pass rush, like, he didn't like to necessarily tackle in the run game or anything, but he could long arm and he could do some of the power stuff. Or you think about, like Dwight Freeney was undersized but was just ferociously athletic and had that just absurd spin move.
Mm-hmm.
Latu is not that athletic when he comes up against a guy like Laremy Tunsil, for instance. I have a hard time seeing him beat Laremy Tunsil. So part of it's just my own personal prediction standard. Like, I can't have Latu end up being good because I've got all these reservations about him.
Well,
but he doesn't, like, he does. He had that neck injury that kept him out of football for 2 years. Yeah. And when you watch him play, he does, like, he really does not want contact. He does not want that smoke. He keeps out of hard contact, and it bothers me a little bit. Just because it doesn't bother me in the way that, like, I think he's a wimp or anything, because he's got this neck issue that he has to protect. But it results in a game that's very unphysical. He gets stuffed at the line sometimes, and it's like he's up against a brick wall.
There's a video that surfaced yesterday of Chris Ballard right after whoever was picking before the Colts took an offensive player.
Yeah.
And he is looking like the cat that ate the canary. It's only a 5-second video, but after the 14th pick gets announced, he's looking around the room at all his people with a big grin on his face, like, we just got the best edge rusher in the draft.
it felt so much like last year when they had like that look of shock and disgust on their face, and they realized that there were cameras in the room, or last year in the draft. And then when they picked Anthony Richardson, they were like, yeah, it's exactly what we wanted to happen.
Yeah.
It's exactly what we wanted to happen.
This felt genuine. And I say that because Ballard grew out his hair. He's got a little DGAF going on right now.
I noticed in one of his press conferences in the offseason that he was wearing a hat, but I could see kind of like you could see the hair coming out the back.
He's grown it out. It looks good. It's kind of wavy. It looks good on him.
He might be. I remember when Coughlin won the Super Bowl with the Giants that year. You know, there were some elements going into 2006 for the Giants that were similar to maybe how Chris Ballard feels right now, where it's like, okay, all right, man, like, it's been long enough. Like, this is it for you. You're gonna get fired if you don't do something. And Coughlin told me they went into that year and basically he told Judy Coughlin, his wife, like, you know what? if this is going to be it, and if it doesn't work out for us this year, this may be my last year as a head coach in the NFL, and I'm going to have fun.
Yeah.
He let his hair down metaphorically.
Yeah.
He didn't have any hair to let down. But he metaphorically let his hair down, and it was reflected in the way his players responded to it.
I remember. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I wonder, when I see something like that with Ballard and the hair, I'm like, man, I hope his marriage is okay. Like, that's the move of a middle-aged guy. Like, I'm going to grow my hair out. I'm going to grow it long. You know, you're trying to get back out there, you know? So I'm not saying it's not okay. I just hope it's okay. I don't know Chris Ballard, but, you know, I hope his marriage is okay. You know, he's not out there, you know, getting ready to go on a singles cruise or something like that. I'm Colts most concerned about the weapons. Adonai Mitchell in the second round. Boy, John Harris really liked this Anthony Gould that they took in the fifth round from Oregon State also. That was one of those John Harris, hands-on-the-head picks in the fifth round. Like, the Colts just got a steal. Yeah. So that's mine. Let's do Jacksonville.
If he's anything like Elliott Gould, I'm not worried.
No, me neither.
Horrible football player.
Not all that great an actor either. Jacksonville, which you got to go all the way down to.
This is an easy one. I go Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU.
Yeah, and I think the just the cadre of weapons, right? You add him to Gabe Davis, to Christian Kirk, to Evan Ingram, to Etienne. Like, there's no Trevor Lawrence doesn't have excuses here, you know?
I think this it's easy to say this now, after you're a few years into Calvin Ridley's career, but I think the upside for Brian Thomas is certainly higher now than whatever Calvin Ridley's going to end up being potentially. And for a guy with this catch radius that can come down with 50-50 balls, I worry that Trevor Lawrence, man, the one thing is, as skeptical as I am of Trevor Lawrence in some respects, man, when you watch in person especially, you can see some of these balls that he throws are just perfectly layered. And he makes some big time throws. So if you pair him with a 6'3" receiver that's awesome on 50-50 balls, mm-hmm. like so many other LSU players from the past, you can see where there could be a lot of plays where Derek Stingley might have him covered perfectly and Brian Thomas still comes down with the ball because it's a well-placed ball between Brian Thomas and the sideline. So that's what concerns me about
him. I think what Thomas adds to what was already, I think an above average set of weapons, I would say. It's not without Brian Thomas, it wasn't scary, and you got to see what Thomas is still. I mean, he's still a rookie. He's still raw. Compared to his teammate Malik Nabers, but his college teammate. But yeah, I'm with you on that one. As far as the Titans go, the thing that scares me is what if Tavondre Sweat turns into what you think he could turn into if he were to get serious about his weight? Because he's got great technique, as you've pointed out many times.
Well, yeah,
you know, and him next to Jeffrey Simmons in the interior.
Right. Now, and playing nose tackle in a 3-4 when they are in their base 3-4 alignment. He could be hell. He could really be hell. The thing that's different, though, is, when the Eagles took the monstrous defensive tackles in successive years out of the University of Georgia, those guys are 320, 330. They're huge, but they can also stay on the field on third down. Tavondre Sweat, for where he went in the draft, I thought was a reach, and yet I could see against a team like the Texans that has struggled to run the ball so far that he could be a real headache for the Texans.
Yeah.
So that's a and also for personal, just for personal pride's sake, if I'm calling it a bad pick to take him at number 2 overall, if he ends up being an awesome player for 10 years, then old Sethers whiffed on that one. But it also just brings back too many memories of the Texans maybe didn't think that much of this guy, but this kid from Texas gets drafted by the Tennessee Titans and ends up beating the Texans, a la Vince Young.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be right. And he and Simmons are lined up over what is the Achilles heel of the offense right now, the interior of the offensive line, you know?
Oh, yeah, which reminds me, that's my most risky the one that scares me the most. The pick that scares me the most from the Cowboys, for similar reasons, I think, is just like Cooper Beebe, the guard that got drafted in the fourth. Did he go in the fourth or third?
Third
round.
Yep, 73rd overall. Round. Yep.
So, Cooper Beebe, as he started to slide down through the second round, I started wondering, all right, well, if the Texans really believe that, either Patterson or Kenyon Green can end up being the guard for them, or maybe even Kendrick Green, and they feel good about that competition, they're certainly not going to take Cooper Beebe. Mm-hmm. And yet, boy, that looks like good value there late in the second round. So if the competition doesn't work out and, the Texans still don't have a good left guard this year, then I'm going to be, and Cooper Beebe ends up being really good, that's gonna sting.
Yeah, that they passed on him, that they drafted maybe Blake, because they were of mind to take an offensive lineman there. They were okay with it. But that they took, and especially if Blake Fisher doesn't work out at 59, right?
You know, yeah, like right. Yeah, that is a double whammy. Yeah. Right, to take a tackle instead of a guard because you felt good about the unproven guys at guard. And I'm Patterson for the Texans is my like secret guy that I'm rooting for.
Yeah.
That sucked
when he got hurt last year. Big time sucked when he got hurt last year. Did you see the footage of Micah Parsons reacting to the pick of Tyler Guyton with the 29th overall to the Cowboys on the Bleacher Report with him and CJ?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't appear to be a fan.
He wasn't happy about it?
Yeah, he didn't appear to be a fan.
He has no filters, man, this kid. He's got no filters whatsoever. He's on television and his team picks and he's showing disgust. Which I'm guessing Cowboys fans are getting sick of. Because like he's just openly talked about how he might leave in free agency and in ways that it's not even, you don't even get the sense that he's doing it for a negotiating tactic even. He's just a stream of consciousness, which is awesome if you're not a fan of that team, but I think they got to be getting a little sick of it.
It shows you how great a player he is that if you asked all those Cowboy fans, they'd probably be like, all right, do you want to get rid of him? They'd be like, no.
Yeah, no.
No, I mean, he's maybe the best defensive player in football. Okay, you know?
That Bleacher Report broadcast, or excuse me, was it Bleacher Report?
Bleacher Report.
The Bleacher Report broadcast that had Micah Parsons and CJ Stroud on it. It's won C.J. Stroud a lot of fans in two places. One, the AFC North, because he was adamantly defending the AFC North as the best division in football. So I saw a lot of different people responding to that video, basically like, hell yeah, that's right, all this. And then in San Francisco, because after the 49ers drafted the receiver there.
Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
You know, CJ was really upset. And like you're saying, that's his guy. That's who he wanted. So 49ers fans, that's circulating big. I went to a couple different 49ers sites where that was a much clicked-upon article.
Yeah, they like that. Boy, he hated seeing Pearsall go off the board.
He loves Pearsall.
He recoiled and fell backwards on the couch, you know?
Texted one of his friends about how angry he was. Yeah.
He loved him some Pearsall. I remember he said, that's okay. We're going to get a wide receiver. And
you know what? A couple of our listeners said that he may have said, we're probably not taking a receiver anyway.
Oh, okay.
He kind of mumbled it a little bit. Or
okay.
Micah was probably talking about puppies or something. he may have said, we're probably not getting a receiver anyway. Because he's thinking, all right, well, we traded for Stephon Diggs. What am I going to?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then that's what I would say to the people who complain, like they didn't get CJ any weapons at wide receiver in the draft. Like, no, they moved back in this draft and got a pick that they used on Stephon Diggs. I get it. It's not the same as drafting a guy in the second or third round and having him on a rookie contract for 4 years.
Yeah.
But if we're living in the now, and that's what the Texans are doing, D'Amico Ryan said it, we are trying to build the best team for 2024. Stephon Diggs builds you the best team for 2024.
Well, yeah, likewise, I think. And also not taking a receiver without reading too much into it, because you only have so many draft picks.
That's right.
A lot of times people's gut reaction to their team after a draft is almost a complaint about them not having 17 first round picks.
Yeah.
Because it's like you only have several top three, first three rounds, you know, so you just can't go after every guy that you want. But if you do want to read into it, at the very least, it could also be that they do feel that good about John Metchie, or, you know, and the way he's perhaps responded physically now being over a year removed from cancer treatment.
Yep.
So there's that. But likewise, you know, like kind of like in not taking Cooper, in taking an offensive tackle instead of Cooper Beebe, a guard, maybe they really do feel that good about the competition at guard right now in-house.
That would be great. And not delusionally feeling that way about it, like legitimately feeling that way about it.
That was one thing on the draft broadcast on Friday night. I was happy to talk to both Vandermeer and John Harris, talked about how much Kenyon Green has been around at the building.
Yeah.
And that, you know, in January, he got his body right. He didn't have to rehab in January. He could just work out like a football player in January.
Great.
So we might see a different version of Kenyon Green, who's just had a litany of injury after injury after injury.
That would be sweet. I mean, if they get something out of that pick, that would be great. All right. Payne and Pendergast. We talked a lot about rookies for the Texans this week. We got a rookie for the Astros that we're going to be talking about here. Getting to know Loperfido. That is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Joey Loperfido is going to be a Houston Astro. Congratulations, kid. You made a great impression at spring training, both on the field and in the clubhouse. And as a result of that and some underperformance from some major league level Houston Astros, and let's be real, the 13 home runs that you hit in the minor leagues this year, you, sir, are getting a call up to the big club, Joey Loperfido.
Yeah. So Loperfido, who, like, obviously he gets called up. He's learning how to play first base, outfielder slash first baseman, but they added the first baseman part relatively recently. So questions about whether or not I guess people are assuming he's going to play first base, and yet when they called Trey Cabbage up for the game in Mexico, I'm like, oh, Trey Cabbage can play first base too.
Yeah.
And yet, no. So I don't know. He's a lefty, which helps too. If you're going to be mixing him in with Chaz McCormick and Jake Myers, then he's got some options there because he's a lefty. So I don't know. I'm not so quick to assume that they're going to put him in at first base just because this team seems to make curious decisions about first
base. Yeah. I think there's a chance I think anything's in play. I think there's a really good chance he's being brought up to help out in the outfield.
Yeah.
There's a chance he could do both. Now, he did play. I'm looking at a summary here about Loperfido in the Chronicle, and Matt Young put this together.
Yeah.
Writes for the Chronicle, and that's the first question he asked, said, what position will he play? Now, he did play his whole freshman season at Duke at first base. He played second base his sophomore season. He's played center field. He's played corner outfield. Like, I mean, there's a chance he's coming up just because he's versatile, and he can play all of these things.
Right.
And he's got some pop in his bat, which they're lacking pop in some of the bats right now. You know, some are doing really good, some are doing really poorly.
So he's striking out a boatload, which is a concern when you bring a guy up this young who's hitting a boatload of home runs, but he's also striking out a lot. But he did have, like, look, in the Grapefruit League, he was above a 1,000 OPS. So it's not like he hasn't seen it on different levels of competition. But I've put my concerns about his strikeouts and pitch selection and everything off to the side, because what are you going to do? This is their choice. They're moving forward with it, and let's go, man. Let's go.
You know who else strikes out a lot? Jose Abreu, Jonathan Singleton.
Right.
They also strike out a lot.
And with no hope in sight for Jose Abreu, it doesn't. aesthetically, look, I'm no swing expert, right. swing analysis expert, but my God.
It's brutal.
It just, everything looks lost and wrong right
yep.
now.
Yep. So the next question, the first question, what's he going to play? I think it could be a little bit of everything. Who goes down to the minor leagues or who gets squeezed? And there's two decisions that need to be made, not to go too nerdy here, but there's a decision with the 26-man roster at the big league yeah. level. But there's also a decision with the 40-man roster, which is, you know, includes guys in the minor leagues that you got special protection over. He's not even on the 40-man roster right now. They'd need to make mm-hmm. a move, and that could be taking Forrest Whitley and putting him on the 60-day IL or something like that.
For those of you who missed it, Forrest Whitley is injured again.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, sure I can't. I tried so hard, right? I mean.
Yeah, it's just, he's snake bit, man. He's snake bit. So it could be Greg Kessinger. Could be John Singleton. I suppose it could be DFAing Jose Abreu if the team's ready to do that. That would be something. That would really tell you that if they were to do that on April the 30th, can you imagine? Like, I know he was here all of last season, but like 1 month into the second season, just like, nope, this guy, he has lost it.
He's a sunk cost at this point. That's a sunk cost.
Yes.
Sometimes people like to try to use the sunk cost to get rid of somebody who at least still, like, they might be overpaid, but like to replace that guy. Well, you know, we have my one guy that keeps saying that, well, Titus Howard is a sunk cost. You got to get rid of him, Seth. You don't understand economics. Like, well, no, he's not you might think he's overpaid, but he's still a valuable football player.
Yeah.
And even if he is overpaid, like I think he's fine. But if you think he's overpaid, you get rid of him. You have to then pay another football player to come in who might not be good at all, or if he is good, you're going to have to pay too. And we're operating with a salary cap here in football. But like, so regardless, like Jose Abreu, unless you think that he's still got a year and a half of good baseball left in him, he's a sunk cost and you just got to move on. You got to swallow your pride and just say, all right, look, we messed up. You know what? Hey, Montero ended up, look, Montero's working out all right all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know? But Montero's not an old man.
Abreu's, he's 7 for 71. Like that, when you put it that way, like when you, like it's one thing to be batting .099. Like that's horrible, right? Like when you frame it as what, like how many hits and how many at-bats he's had this year, like it is April the 30th. It's going to be May tomorrow. He has 7 hits. That's a weekend for Jose Altuve.
Sean, the Astros do not have a home run out of the first base position yet.
Yeah.
They haven't hit a home run. The first baseman haven't hit a home run. And the other, I mean, this
has
is
Bregman, by the way, has Bregman hit one yet? Has Bregman hit a home run yet? I'm going to look it up. You keep talking.
Right? I wasn't aware that he was playing baseball this season.
Alex Bregman.
Okay. Well, he's for starter.
Oh, somebody said it on one of the broadcasts. I think on the ESPN broadcast, mentioned he was. I was watching with Brandy, and one of the announcers said that he was a notoriously slow starter. And I looked at her with my arrogant
words.
Look.
Yeah. told you.
But listen, like, no, this is what bothers me the most is like the irony of this team, the Astros, that built their dynasty relying heavily on analytics, and now they've got like a very almost like an anti-analytics bent in the front office. It's the whole, like, you think about Moneyball and Hatfield, the first baseman in Moneyball, was a horrible first baseman. He moved from catcher to first baseman, but he could still hit.
Yeah.
So like that's the justification. But now they've got like somebody playing first base, the position that should be the easiest to field, but as long as you can hit, no, they got nothing there. It's a big fat zero at first base.
Nothing. Bregy, no home runs, by the way. So they've got some real kind of Swiss cheese stuff going on with this lineup right now. You know, it's very hit or miss. As far as Lo Perfido, he has torn through the minor leagues. He was their minor league player of the year last year. So there was a lot of anticipation in spring training with him. He hadn't been considered one of the elite prospects within the Astros franchise. MLB.com has him rated as the number 6 prospect in their system right now and the 5th best position
headed
player.
Into the season.
Heading into the season.
Yeah.
Now he's, you know, he's got 13 home runs in a month. So his ranking has gone up, I would assume. As far as speed goes, in the minors, Lo Perfido has shown he could be a 2020 guy. 2022, his first season of pro ball, stole 32 bases. And hit 12 home runs in 108 games, so he's got a little he's got a little giddy up. He can do some things on the base paths.
Yeah, and like I said, he's a lefty too. So for like Chaz, who's been struggling, and Jake Myers, who's Jake Myers, if they do have Loperfido play outfield, even if aside from just replacing them for production, you can replace them as having a lefty in the lineup, depending on who they're pitching. So I would expect to see him tonight. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
What time's the game?
It's a home game, so it's probably 7 o'clock. Yeah.
It's a night game. Okay, yeah, obviously.
Yep,
all right,
yep,
okay, good.
Yep,
good.
Normal game. Text message. How do you guys feel seeing Warren Moon go to the podium for the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, no, that was weird, but it's, you know what? It is what it is when it comes to the older players, because that is their franchise. That's why it sucks for players, especially the great players, when the team leaves the city, because there's never that same emotional connection, obviously, to the new city. I remember talking to the guys from the Rams about this. I was talking to Jack Youngblood about this at the Super Bowl one year when the Rams moved back to LA. It was kind of nice for guys like him and Eric Dickerson and everybody else, because they're loved there.
Yes.
You know, there's a fan base there that remembers them and experienced greatness with them and everything.
Dude.
And it's just, it's a little different for guys like Bruce Matthews. Well, now at least Bruce Matthews played in Tennessee.
He did. But what these guys get to do with autograph signings and things like that, you know, like going back to LA, Jack Youngblood's not going to a card shop in St. Louis and signing cards. You're right. Going back to LA, it was great for those guys, those old school Ram guys, for sure. Probably sucks for the guys who played in St. Louis, honestly. Like Kurt Warner, all of a sudden, I gotta
right.
be
right. Yeah, nobody in LA cares about Kurt Warner.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, now here's the thing with Warren Moon, how do I feel about it? Because that's the question. I hate seeing it for longtime Houstonians. I wasn't here for Love You Blue and then the run and shoot era, and I moved here in '94. When I moved here. And then Bud Adams, literally within like months of me moving, he may have already made the decision to move out by the time I got here. I don't even remember. I got the janky ass, like 2-14, and then pick Steve McNair and then Eddie George version of the Oilers in 94 and 95. That's what I experienced. So Warren Moon doesn't hold the same place in my heart. I feel bad for Houstonians. That's how I feel about it, you know?
Yeah. That's yeah, it is. Thing. It's tough. That part of it, I guess what I would say is, I don't think that Amy Adams Strunk is wrong for doing that. Like it's a whole different bucket than wearing the Oilers jerseys.
Yeah.
I think especially when they wore the Oilers jerseys versus the Texans, that was the petty part. Even wearing the Oilers jerseys, that's good. Yeah. Like that's part of it. That's the throwback jersey they have. That's fine. It's wearing them versus the Texans that angered me.
Yeah.
But it's like if Robert Brazil or Ken Houston or Earl Campbell gets up to announce a Titans draft pick. That's their organization that they played for embracing them.
Yeah, so, yeah. You have Warren Moon. We have Sketch.
Make some noise! Come on! This is football! Come on!
It's Sketch, people. Love this guy.
The Philadelphia Eagles have traded the 123rd pick to the Houston Texans! With the 123rd pick of the NFL draft, the Houston Texans select Cade Stover, tight end, Ohio State.
Football. We need This Is Football on a hotkey, Ben.
That'll be one of our intros for something.
This is
football.
This is football.
Roger Goodell needs to bring Sketch back every year to be the guy that speaks for him.
Yes.
Now that apparently Roger Goodell doesn't know how to read.
Sketch should do the whole first round.
Yeah, I can't sit up there watching Roger Goodell fumble through these note cards anymore. Have
tough.
Sketch do it. Sketch deserves a lot of credit for that, for having that level of enthusiasm. But there were no missteps.
No.
In
A plus.
His pronunciation of names or anything like that. He read it nice and clean.
Yep.
And he had to announce a trade as well.
Yes. And he got up and he got out, man. Like, he didn't stay up there for 2 minutes. He was quick.
He unified the crowd.
He did.
He got them all like, okay, this guy's got energy. And what did he say? This is football.
This is football.
Who can't? You're at the draft.
Yeah.
You're braving 275,000 people, reportedly.
Yeah.
And you know, standing in line for urinals and everything else like that to watch the draft.
The players.
Yeah. You better get excited for somebody saying this is football.
Someone says Bud Adams got one look at Sean when he moved here. Said that guy? No, sir. Team's moving. I did not force the move of the Oilers out of town.
You weren't in. You weren't in sports media at the time.
I wasn't. I was selling phones.
Did you try to sell Bud Adams a telephone?
I probably did try to call on Adams Resources. I'm sure I did. Actually, I called on big companies here.
That's right, because you're a go getter.
I'm a cold calling.
You don't waste your time with a small fish.
Cold calling fiend, man. Yeah, hell yeah.
At that time, Bob McNair was just like some little oil and gas company. They're kind of scraping by.
Not worth my time. Yeah,
he probably came across your desk like that.
They don't have enough employees. Nope. Sorry. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. We got our first set of post-draft power rankings, at least the first ones that we have seen. Texan fans, start rubbing your hands together. How good do the experts think your team is? We've got that for you coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. All right, power rankings.
Ooh.
Power rankings. Ooh. Seth?
I hadn't even thought about post-draft power rankings, Sean.
Power rankings. I'm going to go find some today. This is just Bleacher Report, but I'm going to go. There's got to be some post-draft power rankings out there, and you know that I love to power rank the power rankings.
This one came out of Bleacher Report, where I feel like a lot of the this first few days after the draft, there's so much to hash out with draft grades and everything, and discussing the Falcons. Are they still discussing the Falcons trade on ESPN right this moment?
Thunder,
not Falcons trade, but Falcons pick of Penix.
Thunder sweep Pelicans in first round is what's up on the TV right now.
That's right. It's ESPN.
Heavy NBA.
Their golden baby.
Heavy NBA. We'll see what Amazon has to say about that. Yes, these Bleacher Report power rankings. And Bleacher Report, who starts at 32 and counts down. A lot of these power rankings start at 1, and you used to have to page way down to find the Texans. Well, on this one, I'm happy to say that starts at 32 with the worst team in football, the New England Patriots. You have to page down a ways to get to the Houston Texans. You have to page past teams like the Bengals at 8,
Cowboys at 12.
The Cowboys at 12. We're just sailing past them in the HOV lane. The Dolphins at 7. We honk at
Packers
them.
Packers with their hot young quarterback.
Nine. We got 9 Packers, as I mentioned, 8 Bengals, 7 Dolphins.
Ooh. Somebody's not going to be happy. One fan base is going to be really PO'd about this, and it's that you have to scroll past the Ravens at 5.
Yeah, yeah. Buffalo 6, Ravens 5. Yeah.
The team that just put one on the Texans in the playoffs, is now, based on offseason activity.
Yeah.
That's a chip per on the shoulder report. Right there in Maryland. I know it's per Bleacher Report. But you know, fans being what they are, especially Ravens fans, they're not going to cotton to this much.
Yeah. They don't like that the Texans are, CJ Stroud is driving and going, and honking and waving, and Will Anderson's in just shotgun. We do stop. We pull right in front of the Ravens and park and block them. At number 4 in these power rankings. Fourth. The Texans are 4th in these power rankings.
Here's, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I can see that. Right? This is a little, this is a lot right here.
It's everything that Nick gets grumpy about, which is it's all based on offseason activity before anybody's even, they've at least stepped in the building by this point, but they haven't stepped out on a football field because you just got to, like in any sport, NBA especially, right? Like even though you put some big names together, you just don't know until you get out there and do it. So yeah, there is a part of me that's like, all right, let's, like Stefan Diggs tweeted a couple weeks ago, don't put the carriage before the horse.
Yeah, he did. I bet that's, now we know why he tweeted that. Because the carriage is perched firmly in front of the horse right now at 4 on these power
rankings. Well, you know what? I mean, Stephon Diggs is coming out of a situation where at least part of his disgruntlement was coming from the fact that that was a team that was the darling up-and-coming pick for a few years. That, the Bills are knocking on the door. Are they going to kick it in next year? And no, the Chiefs exist. So, yeah, I think that's probably Stephon Diggs actually, he's a good resource to have in terms of reminding guys like, hey, let's not get ahead of ourselves. You know, it's hard. I've been there. We were all set up to be the next team that was going to go to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl or two.
Yeah.
And it all fell apart. So just don't take your eye off the prize.
Texans 4, Detroit 3, San Francisco 2, Kansas City 1. We mentioned the Bills are 6th, and you just mentioned the Bills with Stephon Diggs. Who, which power ranking do you feel is more accurate right now? The Texans at 4 or the Bills at 6?
I would say Texans at 4 just because the Bills have some serious questions.
Lost a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah, they've lost a lot of weaponry. Now they got Keon Coleman, who has won the draft in terms of personality in press conferences, which I know you're mad at Nick for, like, after you've seen all these Keon Coleman highlights of him at press conferences. And what, he's winning the offseason, he's winning the post draft.
Well, think about who he replaced. He's replacing Stephon Diggs, who was complete curmudgeon behind the scenes.
Well,
in Buffalo.
But in front of the cameras, though, Stephon Diggs was pretty, he had a lot of, the first 2.5 years of Stephon Diggs in Buffalo were nothing but rose petals and consensual massages.
Yes.
It was like, it was awesome, you know? Everything was perfect. It just all kind of fell apart over the course of 1.5 years.
Did you see the video of Keon Coleman getting introduced to the cold room for the first time?
Yeah. And then he did. And then he said, it's like the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Because when he came out, all this, I guess it's not steam, all this,
the mist off the dry ice.
The mist, like when, it, like when you're breathing in the cold, comes out of the door and it looks like, so you're walking through the mist. So Keon Coleman had them turn the lights off
so
he could go back into the cold room and come out like he was the Undertaker making his entrance.
I mean, now I'm even angrier. Like, I didn't know he had a WWE thing going on as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if Nick knew, because Nick's a WWE guy.
Big guy, yeah.
Nick follows wrestling.
Big WWE guy, yeah. So, 4th in the power rankings.
Do you have that on a list of things to ask him about on Thursday?
On Keon Coleman? Well, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow at 7:30.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Oh, I wasn't going to come to work tomorrow. Okay.
You better come in.
So, yeah, be sure you put that on our Google Doc of things to ask Nick.
Well, don't worry. Yeah, I will. I got a bone to pick with him. Hey, Larry is in Stafford. I think Larry heard us talking about these Warren Moon and the Love You Blue. So I feel like this is a native Houstonian weighing in right now. What's going on, Larry?
You're absolutely right, son. I was disappointed in seeing Warren up there because his ass never played in Tennessee, man. And he's an oiler, man, and he know it, man. But again, it doesn't surprise me what the sorry-ass Titans do. But I called in because last week, right about this time, son, we were still battling everybody that was trying to figure out what our uniforms was going to look out as we prepared for that uniform release yeah. on Tuesday night. And then when they saw them, everybody lost their mind with how good they all look, man. And I say all that to say last week was probably the hardest week of my life as a Texan fan because we had that uniform release, and then we had an awesome-ass draft all weekend. I got to hang with you and the Mafia and drink up some stuff, and it was just a fun time, man, as a Texan fan. And it's just the continuation of where we're trying to see this team go. It's just a lot of fun. And then now this morning, you telling me we rank number 4 in the power rankings, which we probably have never seen in 20-plus years. This is something that is telling us that we are on a good track, man. And now it's just about putting everything together on the football field. And I'm with you, man. On that Keon Cole, Cat Coleman, when he came out of that freeze tank, man, looking like the Undertaker, and his simplicity, man, that authentic personality that he has is what all NFL players should kind of emulate or look like, man, because it's the beauty of getting drafted and going to the league and making your dreams come true, and you can live through that dude feeling all that kind of energy. I love what them boys did in the draft because we drafted for what we wanted and not absolutely what we needed. And all them dudes you talked about from the 6th round to the 7th round, it's going to be some special players over there, man, because Bird and the other D-tackle Harris that we got, I'm thinking them boys come to play football because Nick and D'Amico only draft dudes that are going to fit into the kind of system and culture that they want. Big shout-out to Tank, man. Tank, I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you're back in the H, but you got to move different, dog. You can't just be out there. I'm not saying that you had any control over what went on, but you in a whole nother stratosphere, man, and sometimes you just can't bounce around in the old places you used to play. Come on and stay your ass in the H and let me walk with you in our hall.
Appreciate you, Larry. Yeah, man. Great seeing you out at the draft party, dude. That was a lot of fun out there on Friday for sure. And yeah, no new news on Tank other than the video surfaced yesterday. We heard from the Seminole County Sheriff kind of describing everything that went on. And yeah, Tank is back in Houston, but nothing new as to his condition. As you pointed that out, Seth, like, yeah, it's one thing to suffer a minor. It's one thing for a regular civilian to suffer a minor wound and get it repaired. And then you are released from the hospital on the same day you get on a plane and fly home. It's another thing for somebody who's getting ready for OTAs. Who gets shot in a lower extremity.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just, you don't know, especially in the end, and who is recovering from a leg injury already.
Yeah.
Most of the one report was that most of the gun wounds were below the waist.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I guess that's a weird thing. I don't know if I've ever seen a report quite like that. But that's okay. So for a receiver, we'll see exactly what the injury is. There's not a lot of details about it yet. Yeah, I think as far as, using the phrase that Chad Johnson had used and Larry and Savage just said, moving differently, like just kind of being really aware of what your surroundings are, where you are. I have no idea what that club was like other than that it is a private event club. You know, you go to the website, if you want to check it out, is cabanalive.com. Mm-hmm. And it's at a marina. Like, it doesn't... There's nothing about it that looks like oh, stay away from that place
right.
or anything. Like, so is it? They host private parties. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I don't know the nature of the event or anything. Like, I don't know, because I've seen a lot of people have asked me, like, hey, shouldn't guys not go to places like this? And I'm like, I don't. Man, people get shot. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but people get shot everywhere these days.
Yeah.
They get shot every damn where.
Right.
Can you go to a damn Super Bowl parade?
Yeah.
Like, that's what. Can you go to a Super Bowl parade? Can you go watch a movie?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I think there's some assumptions that people make when they hear that a young player got shot. And there's more assumptions that go into it beyond that also, obviously.
Yep.
And I think that, like, just cool your jets, I think, maybe on just assuming the Tank was out in some sketchy place where, like, gangbangers are or something.
Right.
You know, They host private events. I don't know what kind of an event it was.
Well,
now, he does. He was trying to break up a fight.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is, when you are a celebrity pro athlete, you kind of look, dude, you're past the days of breaking up fights, even though it's the right thing to do. But you got to get the hell out of there.
Yep.
You know, you just got to get the hell out of there.
Absolutely.
Or if it was somebody well, who knows?
That was Ocho Cinco's thing. Like, you can't go where people are carrying. I'm like, they're carrying everywhere nowadays. You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
We live in Texas. Again,
right, like, I don't, like, if it was a private event, like, I don't know, like, what, maybe association or whatever it was, yeah. Like, that maybe they didn't think that they had to check weapons at the, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to hear Seth preach some more, because that's exactly what I was saying yesterday. It sounded harsh, but I said, it could have happened at the draft party.
Yeah.
It sounds harsh. It sounds like, oh, what kind of, jinx. No, I'm just saying, because of what, like, Seth's talking about.
It's so random.
The draft party.
Yeah.
The picnic I had Sunday with my family. I mean, anywhere.
Anywhere.
So people say you got to move differently.
Las Vegas. Oh,
yeah.
Tank was at a country music concert at 3 p.m. in Las Vegas.
Right. Yeah, it's wild. Didn't get to see you yesterday. How you feeling?
I'm good. Okay. I'm good. Just had a little bit of an infection. Got a little bit of a headache, so yeah. I had to go to the doctor. But all good. They cut it open, gave me some antibiotics.
Oh man!
Ew.
Yeah, this thing's been going on for 9 days.
You
now.
Look like you got in. Yeah. You look like you got into like some fisticuffs.
I won. I kicked his ass.
Okay. You should see the other guy.
You should see the other guy.
Who would be the equivalent if it was if Tyson's fighting Jake Paul? Who is Lopez fighting in that scenario?
Ben Gary.
Yes, it would be a younger radio.
Say Landry Locker.
Yeah. I'll take Ben.
You think you could take him, Landry?
What?
Him?
Ooh.
John?
Nah, he's...
I'm old school. I fight dirty.
You do?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And you got dad strength, too. Although yeah. Landry's got dad strength now.
Now he does.
Yeah, but only a few months worth.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got years and years worth. It's big. All right, we're done. We are out of time. You're listening to KILT and KILT HD2. An Odyssey station. Seth, I will see you tomorrow. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and power rankings to you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm getting them today, man. I'm going and getting them.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.